Are you all right? Okay. I'm just going to read the Bible to you. After I read, we'll go home. All right. So have a look at Hebrews chapter 11. We'll just have a Bible reading, then we can just go home. If you want to go to MacD's, invite me to come. That will be great. Hallelujah. Just reading, and if you haven't done a Bible reading this week, this is your Bible reading. It'll be great. All right. Now, faith is always now. Faith is never yesterday, and faith is not tomorrow. If you're looking at tomorrow, it's not faith, it's hope. Yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. The only cash in hand you've got is today. And faith always has to do with today. If you're going to believe God, you have to believe God now. You're not going to wait until next week. If you're going to wait until next week, that's not faith. But if you are, then next week is the time when you release this thing called faith. And next week is when you believe. But faith is always now. If it's not now, it's not faith. People say, well, I hope somebody will pray for me and I get healed. Well, if you hope to get healed, then you transfer your faith from now. That's not faith. That's hope. There's nothing wrong with hope. But if you're going to believe God for healing, you have to believe Him now. Hallelujah. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There are two pillars of faith, and I think we shared that some time back. Faith is substance. That's one pillar. And faith is evidence. That's the other pillar. Faith is the substance of something that you are hoping for. It is the evidence of something that you can't see. If you can see it, you don't need to believe for it. You can only hope for something that you can't see. And faith is the substance of things that you're hoping for, the evidence of things that you can't see. Now, faith is always contrasted with what you see. And our greatest enemy is what we see, what we know. See, when the Bible says what you see, it's not necessarily just what you see. It's what you know naturally. So, if you know you can't have children, that's natural. And if that's all you know, guess what? You'll never have kids. So, you got an old couple like Zechariah and Elizabeth. And Zechariah has been praying for, and Elizabeth been praying. And the angel turned up when Zechariah was quite old. And the angel said, your prayer is heard. What prayer? I mean, you pray a million prayers and they never get answered. And he said, what prayer? The baby prayer. Now, Zechariah is now old. Elizabeth is old. That's why Elizabeth went and hid herself for 6 months. Because it's very embarrassing for an old girl to have a baby. But if God says you're going to have a child, then everything you know and see is superseded by the word of God. And when you trust that, that thing is called faith. Are you okay? Now, Abraham and Sarah. Abraham, all he ever wanted in his whole life was a son. And now he's 100 years old. And the Bible says, His body was dead. And his wife Sarah's womb was also dead. So he got two dead people. Two dead bodies. And it doesn't matter what they have in a form of a sexual relationship, intimacy. Nothing happens. Why? He's dead. She's dead. God said, I'm going to give you a son. Are you okay? Now, if Sarah goes to the women's meeting during the week, and Sarah said, well, God spoke to Abe and I last week, and God said we're going to have a son. And everybody said, Now, if Sarah goes to the doctor, I mean, he'll open the door, laugh like man, and turn around trying to decorate his face so that she wouldn't embarrass the old girl. And if Sarah goes to a specialist, everyone will say, it can't be done. But God said, it can be done. See, and faith, when faith comes, faith assaults what you know. And what you know assaults faith. You heard Pastor John's testimony this morning. Test after test after test. And everybody, you should be worried. Why are you not worried? Some people are worriers. They worry. And when they can't worry, they worry that there's nothing to worry about. Now, you have every specialist telling you there's something wrong with your body. You got one test after another test after another test. And yet there's a serenity and a peace that supersedes all understanding. And what are you going to trust? Faith is a substance. One pillar. Substance of things hoped for. The evidence. Substance, evidence. Hallelujah. Substance, evidence. Now, substance is something that has tangibility. You can actually touch it. Substance. But, can you touch faith? So, it must be a substance from another realm. See, this is substance in this realm. But faith is a substance from another realm. And when you get that substance from another realm, hello? Now, there are more than one realm. There is the spiritual realm. There is the natural realm. Now, the spiritual realm is more real than you know. It's more real than the chair you're sitting on. Why? Because the spiritual realm is the parent of the physical realm. This stuff will disappear. The spiritual realm will still exist. The spiritual realm existed before your great-great-great-great-grandfather left England. Now you're here. The spiritual realm is still here. So, when the Bible says faith is substance, it must be substance from another dimension. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, by faith God created the world through His Word. Faith, God created, hello? By faith we understand that God created the world. Now, a lot of people say, God created the world out of nothing. No. God did not create the world out of nothing. We were speaking in Auckland last week, and they were all dancing, and I began to dance, you know. And Dean Openshaw was on the other side. Dean is a white man, stiff as a board, and he's trying to imitate me. I said, hey, forget it. You've got no rhythm. Hallelujah. So, God did not create the world out of nothing. God created the world out of something. God created the world out of a substance called Faith. Are you okay? Now the Bible says, faith is a substance of things that you are hoping for. It is the evidence of things you can't see. Hallelujah. Now, how does that substance come? Where do you get it from? See, if you can go to the grocery store and buy that substance, fantastic! You got faith. Why? It's a substance of things I'm hoping for. And you know what? We hope for a lot of stuff. We hope for a car. We hope for a house. We hope for a wife. We hope for a husband. We hope for a degree. We hope for a lot of stuff. And you don't get it. Why? Because hope on its own has no substance. You have to add faith to hope to give hope substance. And faith is the substance of things that you are hoping for. But if you just have hope, hope in itself has no substance. Now, how do you get that substance? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. When you hear God, that substance becomes yours. When you hear God, faith cometh by hearing. And how does hearing come? By the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the Word of God. When your ears are opened by God and God speaks into your heart, faith becomes a substance in your spirit. Hallelujah. So, my problem is to hear. He that has ears to hear. Ears are not to decorate your face. Ears are to hear, and these are not the only ears you have. The same way these are not the only eyes you have. When Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus, he said, Lord, open the eyes of their understanding, their heart, that they may see the enormity of the inheritance that you have for them. Our eyes need to be open. But my eyes are open. Like, you know, like the little guy that went out and saw the Syrian army. I mean, he ran inside and he said to the old man, we're going to die. The old man came out, why? Well, look at this. You know what he said? God, open the boy's eyes. When he prayed that prayer, the boy was, what do you mean open my eyes? My eyes are open. He's praying that my eyes will be open. I'm not blind. My eyes can see. And I can see chariots. And I can see Syrian soldiers. And when God opened his eyes, he said, hello? What did the old man have? Evidence of things not seen. And most of us are bound to this realm. And we live defeated lives because we walk by sight. It's going to take me a long time to read that passage. I forgot to tell you there are two ways of reading the Bible. You read it fast and you read it slow. I'm just reading it slow. When that substance comes, faith comes by hearing and hearing. But when you have that substance and you declare that, nothing stops it. Nothing. Nothing. But if you don't have that substance, you can scream until the cows come home. Nothing will happen. Faith is the substance of things. And when God spoke to Abraham, his body was dead, his wife's body was dead, but God said, and everything said no, but God said yes. Hallelujah. You're very quiet. You don't have to be educated to hear God. Faith is one of those things that is complex yet simple. Complex in that I don't think we will ever discover the enormity of what faith is, and yet everybody has a measure of faith. Everybody. Whether you're Maori Samoan, housewife, or professor. Hallelujah. Everyone is a recipient of faith. But when that substance comes, I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the bank says. I don't care what anybody says. That substance creates for you what nothing else can do. And when that substance comes, the Bible says, you can call the thing that is not there as though it is already there. Now you say, well, how do you do that? Well, you read the Bible, but you don't know. Every miracle Jesus did was calling the thing that's not as though it is. What was the first miracle? Water to wine. Now, what did he say? Fill them with water. Now, if I was the guy filling the thing with water, and that was for the cleansing of the Jews. They want wine, and you fill the bathtub. And then you fill a bathtub and dish it out. Dish it out. This is water in the bathtub. They want wine. And Jesus said, dish it out. And know what Jesus' mother said? Whatever he tells you to do, whether it is stupid or not, do it. Now, how many know you can't walk on water? But Jesus said to Peter, whatever he tells you to do, do that. And when they dish out the water, hello? What did the guy say? You kept the best wine till now. Now, you can imagine these guys that are dishing the thing out, because they're servants, and they're going on, and the guy take it, and hey! He broke it. I'm going to wear the glass now. I said, where did he get this wine from? How come it wasn't? Why? God calls the thing that's not as though it is. Why? Because you got substance. Hallelujah. You know, he came into the synagogue one day, and there's a guy there whose arm is withered. And he said, stretch forth your arm. My arm is withered. Stretch it forth. I can't stretch for the arm. How do you stretch for an arm that's dead? You call the thing that's not as though it already exists. You okay? Came to raise the daughter of Jairus. You know what it said? Get out of here. The girls are asleep. What? The girl's not sleeping. The girl's dead. What's he saying? Calls a thing that's not as though it is. Why? He got substance. Are you okay? Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, 10 guys said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on us. Now, they're all lepers. You know what he said? Go see the priest. Now, why see the priest? There is only one reason you send a leper to see a priest. So the priest can declare your healing. The priest will test. And you don't go to the priest sick. You go there after you heal. And the priest will say, you are actually correct. It's, you know, you're healed. Now, he said, go see the priest. Only heal people go and see the priest.
Hello?
When substance comes, when faith comes, when you hear the word of God, you've got a creative word that will not be denied. It's up to you now, because when faith comes, it gives us an opportunity. First of all, whether we're going to take a risk or not. Don't tell me it wasn't risky getting out of the boat. Now, I want you to see something. Jesus did not rebuke Peter for wanting to walk on water. He rebuked Peter when he stopped walking on the water. So, if you want to walk on water, God won't, hello? Are you all right? That's why a young child's faith is so fantastic. You know why? They don't see any failures. Are you okay? We ministered at the church one time, and I think I preached a fantastic message. And I called the people, and they wouldn't even come. You know, the only people that came were kids, and they line up from there. And I just went and prayed for them, you know, just laid hands on them. And the funny thing was, they were standing like this, and they go, zoom, zoom. They didn't actually fall down. They went down and they stood at about 45 degrees. Now, you can't stand like that. I mean, and you can put a ruler on the thing. And they were all the same. And they stood like that. And when the adults saw that, they came to the altar call. I wanted to whack their faces. Because people want to see something before they respond. Hello? But when that substance comes, you can declare what it says. If God says you're going to have a child, you declare that. You go tell everybody, where is it? Well, it's there. My wife and I lived in a post office house. And the only reason we lived in the house was because at the time I was working for the post office. I was not working at the postal site. I was working at the telecommunication site. The house belonged to the postmaster in Mangaweka. So we stayed there. And they said, you better shift to Taihape because we're going to ship the house to Taihape. We've already put the piles down. And they've already shifted houses to Taihape. And they were coming to shift this one. And I came home one day from work. We started the church, and I asked them, can you leave the house in Mangaweka? He said, well, it's not your house. Which is correct. It's not my house. And they said, we can't. It's already done, and Britain are going to come, and you better pack your stuff. And so Britain turned up, you know, the shifting company, and they took photos, going to cut the house this way, put one half on to go and take that, come and get the other half. I come home, my wife was crying, and I said, what's the matter? He said, they're coming next week. They've already been, showed me the tire marks in front, and already been, take the photos, and they're going to cut it here, and they're going to take this half, and then they come back, take the other half. So we prayed. We postponed the shifting of that house 1 week at a time for 2 years. Now, don't tell me that's easy. Because you don't know if you're going to have a house next week or not. But what I needed to know, what I wanted to hear, is what is God's will for this house. That's what. And we prayed, we fasted, and God spoke to my wife. And God said, I'll give you the house. And when he said that, guess what? I went and told all my mates at work, the house is ours. What? So that's easy done. Then you have to go through the mechanics and the process of getting it. So we went to the post office and said to them, can we buy the house? They said, no, it's against the law. The post office don't sell property. The post office against the post office act. The post office can't sell property to anybody, including private buyers. And the house belongs to the post office. And you can't do it. Unless you change the law, it can't be done. So we were living in Mangaweka. We came here. We talked to the people here.
My wife said, let's go to Wellington. So we went to Wellington, got the same answer. She said, let's go Palmerston North. Went to Palmerston North, same answer. The only person that gave us a kind-hearted man in Palmerston North, said, you look like a lovely couple. But the simple answer is, it can't be done. It's against the law. But God said, it's yours. So we went to God and postponed the shifting of the house. And one day I was away. We were working, and we were going out preaching. And sometimes work 16 hours a day, and then in the weekend go out preaching and come back and start again the following weekend. We were away preaching, and I came back. And the guy said, a couple of guys came last week to talk to you. And we said to them, you were away, and you won't be back till this week. And they said they're coming on Wednesday. So Wednesday they turned up, and they said, we've been commissioned by the government to sell all the properties that belong to the post office. The government has actually changed the act and changed the law. And I just told people, God changed the law for my benefit. Substance, faith is substance of things that you're hoping for, the evidence of things not seen. So they said, we're going to price the house, and we'll make you the first buyer to buy the house. If you don't like our price, we'll auction the house, and that means that you will probably not get it. I said, well, give us the price. We'll have to go and price it. So they went back and priced it. And they came back and they said, we priced it. You'll not. I mean, it was just a miracle. I said, $23,000. I mean, it's a huge house. It's still our home. Our kids go there and spend the weekend there when they want to have a break. And $23,000. Now, mind you, this was a few years ago. But $23,000, then it was a lot of money. Compared to now, you can't even buy a room now in a house for $23,000. But at the time, it was a lot of money. And shall I stop or carry on? You're right. My wife and I were living on $21 a fortnight. I get $191 in the hand. We give God $100. The car that takes me to work 24 kilometers to Tahape and back every day runs on $70 a fortnight. So the car takes $70 a fortnight. God gets $100. We get $21. Now, when you live on $21, you don't mismanage $21. So we didn't shop every week because we didn't have anything to shop with. In fact, I was married to Fia for 6 years before I was able to afford to buy her a top. And the night I bought her a top in Levin, we were heading out to speak in Wellington, and I was so proud I had some money to buy my wife a top. I bought her a top after 6 years of marriage and gave her the top, and I cried as I gave her the top. I said to her, I'm so sorry. I haven't been a good husband, a good provider, but that's all we've got, living by faith. So when you have $21, you know, and we don't buy stuff every month. A lot of people give us stuff, you know. John was talking this morning about God's amazing provision. Hallelujah. But we managed, after a few years, to save $252. That's a lot of savings. So when they say $23,000 for the house, it might as well be $23 million. Why? Because all the money we had between us and the grave was $252. We talk about it, and we said, that's a fantastic price. So we said, we'll buy it. You don't do stuff because you afford it. You do stuff because you heard. The substance of things you are hoping for, the evidence of things you can't see. I won't finish reading that verse. I'll read it next time. but I'll just finish after I talk to you, all right? So, we had a service one Sunday, and we came home, and a young man who was in our church at the time, well, he wasn't young, he's about the same age as I was at the time, but he was not married. And he turned up and he said, "Pastor, I've been praying for you. And God said you're going to buy this house. God told me to come and give you some money to help you buy the house. God told me to tell you not to take a mortgage." Well, I wasn't going to take a mortgage out. You can't pay a mortgage with $21 a fortnight. It's just impossible. You have to be a lunatic to take a mortgage on $21 a fortnight. Are you okay? So he came and he talked, and it was the middle of a Sunday afternoon. We just finished the morning service. We just finished lunch. And so he wrote a check and turned the check upside down on top of the table. And he left. Well, I thought, well, I was calculating now. I thought, maybe it's $500 plus $252. $752. That's not bad. It's getting there. $23,000. I thought, well, maybe $500 in the check. So I went over and turned the check over. When I turned the check over, I cried. Because the check was $14,000. And my wife saw me cry, and she said, "What are you crying for?" And she came over, she looked at the check, she cried. I mean, it's the biggest amount of money I've ever seen in my whole life. Now, at that time, I'd been pastoring the church for 15 months, and they paid me $250 a week, which was $1,000 a month. When they pay me that money, I give the money back to the church. So they created an account called a building account, and my wages, I just put the wages back there. And after 15 months, there were $15,000 in there. And so we needed some new chairs and a carpet, and we bought 120 chairs from a company in Auckland called Namco. I think they've gone bust now. And we bought 120 chairs and the carpet, and it took $8,000 of the money that was in that account, and so there was $7,000 left. And then they said, "Well, Pastor, why don't you take the $7,000? I said, "It belongs to God. Besides, it's under the church name, and until you hear from God, forget it." So we went preaching Rangiwahia. Rangiwahia is out that way. And we did not know that they talk among themselves and said, "We need to talk about that $7,000. And so on Sunday, they had their own service on Sunday. We were not there. And after the service, they talk and they said, "Everybody has been praying for a week." And everybody said, "I think God wants us to give the pastor and his wife the $7,000. Now, none of them knew that we had $14,000. None of them knew that we had the cost of the house. They did not know the cost of the house. So they decided to give us $7,000. And $7,000 plus $14,000 is $21,000. Now, they did not know that the house was going to cost $23,000. And they did not know that. They just knew that, you know, they were going to give us $7,000. And one of the elders, I had four elders at the time, and he got up and said, "Okay, we're going to give the pastor $7,000, which actually is what, it's his money, because he gave it to us. But what have we as a church done to help our pastor and his wife buy the house? Why don't we take up an offering?" Now, 7 plus 14 is 21. How much was the offering? $2,000. They took up an offering. The offering was $2,000. And came to exactly $23,000. So we went to Palmerston North to the new department. They called themselves Land Corp. And the guy said, "Mr. and Mrs. Acera, what are you going to do? How are you going to pay for this house?" And I handed them the money over the counter. And they looked at the money. And the guy said, "This is not enough." I said, "Give me a break. You told us it was $23,000. They said, "It is $23,000. So, well, how come it's not enough?" He said, "The deed of the property has to be written. And we have to pay the lawyer, a lawyer, to write the deed so that the thing becomes yours. Right now, it belongs to the government. And we have to separate that from the government to you. And the deed, we need to pay the guy that's going to write the deed for the property. I said, how much is it to write the deed? $252. I said, hi, hi, sir. I'll be back in a minute. I went down the road and emptied our account and $252. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith becomes the evidence. You can't see, we couldn't see us owning that house. We are hoping to own, but it's something that was unseen. But faith becomes the evidence that this unseen thing is now ours. Faith becomes the substance of this thing that we are hoping for. And faith is always now. It's faith. Faith is substance and evidence. Hallelujah. And when you get that, when faith comes, you know what the Bible says? By faith we overcome the world. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Faith is not set apart for specialists. Everyone has a measure of faith. And then it is your responsibility to see that your faith grows. Hallelujah. How do you hear God? You relate to Him. You communicate with God because you know God. Those who know their God shall be and do exploits. Those who know their God. That means God may be your God, but you don't know your God. And when you walk with God, hearing God is not difficult. Shane and Donna are married. I'm sure they communicate in ways that nobody else knows. Now, my wife and I can have an argument while we're talking to some people, and nobody will know we just had an argument. In fact, sometimes we will do premarital counseling for young people that are getting married, and we will have an argument while we're counseling a couple, but they don't even know we're arguing. Why? Because we know each other. Now, I can be preaching from here. I can look at you, and I can look at my wife. My wife, with one look, can preach a sermon. Why? Because we know each other. The more you know your God, you know what God says? I'll guide you with my... what? I'll guide you with my what? My eye. I'll guide you with my eye. I'll awaken your ear in the morning. I will awaken your ear. I will open your ear. That's an amazing thing. That's what Isaiah, that's what God said to Isaiah. I will awaken you. That means God will awaken your ear. And then God will open your ear. God will wake you up. And then God will open your ear so He can speak into your ear. He wakes up your ear and then He opens up your ear. And the more close you walk with God, the more easy, it's easy, it's not hard to hear God. It may be hard to obey Him. How would you like to, God to say, I want you to just walk around the walls for once a day for 7 days. And by the way, nobody talks. Now, how would you like to tell 3 million Maoris they can't talk for 7 days? I mean, some park here can't even shut up for 7 minutes. But He said, tell them to walk. Now, when you get illogical instructions, it's very difficult to act on it. But if you know God, hallelujah. Perry Perry is a young Christian man. He goes to the Elam Church in Porirua. Lovely guy. He's a Samoan. He rings me. And he complains. And then he says, Pastor, I'd love, there's nothing else in the world I would love to do than to take my family to Samoa. My kids have never been there. He's got four kids. I said, what go? He said, I can't. I said, why? I can't afford it. I said, I didn't ask you whether you can afford it. I told you to go. And he said, Pastor. I said, don't you pastor me. You are the one that rang me up. I said, I want you to go and book your tickets. He said, Pastor, I can't do that. I said, go book your tickets. Otherwise, don't ring me again. Well, we went to their conference. They had a conference, a church conference called Unstoppable. And here comes Perry. And he was smiling from beyond this ear to beyond this ear. He was just smiling. I said, Perry, what's the matter with you? He said, we just come back from Samoa. I said, what happened? I said, well, you told me to go and book our tickets. So I did, with trepidation. And I said, so who went to Samoa? He said, me, my wife, and our four children. And I said to him, from now on, going to Samoa will always be affordable to you. Not because you got enough money, but because you've broken through, you got enough faith. Yeah. Yeah. The next time we were in Samoa, we were in a particular village preaching. Guess who turned up? Perry. Perry and his wife. I said, what are you doing here? You're back here again. Why? Because if you're hoping for something, faith is substance of things you're hoping for, the evidence of things you can't see. There's only one thing that you have to do. Go and do it. It will work. It will work in Italy. It will work in Samoa. It will work in South Africa. And it will work in Whanganui. But you have to go work it. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Blessed art thou if you do it. Go home.